Welcome back to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and with me is my co-host.
Hello, everyone. We've got a fantastic lineup for you today, diving deep into the hardware and software that are redefining what artificial intelligence can actually do in the real world.
Exactly. We're going to kick things off by looking at OpenAI's latest major release, the GPT 5.6 family. They just announced some absolutely massive price cuts that are completely shaking up the economics of the developer ecosystem, especially for those building autonomous agents.
It's a huge move. And then we are shifting gears from the digital to the physical world. Google DeepMind just unveiled Gemini Robotics 2, and they are moving aggressively beyond just programming robotic arms. They're introducing what they call whole-body intelligence, which is a massive leap toward general-purpose physical AI that can actually navigate human spaces.
We'll also hit a few other stories in our roundup, including a much-needed reality check on the hype surrounding solid-state batteries, some specific friction points developers are running into with Claude Code's context window, and a surprise announcement for fans of classic point-and-click adventure games. Let's get right into it. So our first story today is all about the shifting landscape of frontier AI models. OpenAI has officially released the GPT 5.6 model family. They initially dropped this on July 9th, 2026, but the real shockwave hit on July 30th, when they announced some staggering, almost unbelievable price reductions. We're talking about an 80% price cut for their cost-efficient model, Luna, and a 20% cut for their balanced model, Terra.
An 80% cut just 3 weeks after launch is wild. It really signals how intense the competitive pressure is right now from open weight models and competitors like Anthropic and Google. But before we get too deep into the economics, let's break down the actual lineup. You've got three distinct tiers here. Sol, which is the heavy-duty flagship, Terra, the balanced middle ground for everyday tasks, and Luna, the highly optimized, cost-efficient workhorse.
Right, and across the board, the technical specifications are pretty mind-blowing. We are looking at a 1,050,000 token context window, which is massive, and an unprecedented 128,000 max output token limit. That output limit is particularly crucial. If you're building agentic workflows where the model is generating huge amounts of code, synthesizing entire code bases, or writing complex documentation in a single pass, you need that massive output headroom.
And that seems to be the entire focus of the 5.6 release, enabling and accelerating agentic workflows. It is no longer just about building a better, more conversational chatbot. The flagship model Sol includes this brand new Ultra setting that is specifically designed for coordinating multiple AI agents across parallel work streams. It's essentially an orchestration layer built natively into the model itself.
Yeah, that Ultra setting is fascinating. If you're using ChatGPT Pro, Business, or Enterprise, you get access to Sol with adjustable reasoning levels. You can choose between medium, high, extra high, and pro. The core idea is that you can dynamically dial up the compute based on the complexity of the task at hand. If you need it to solve a complex math theorem, you crank it to pro. If you just need a quick summary, you leave it on medium.
But it hasn't been entirely smooth sailing, has it? Despite the impressive specs and the massive context window, there are already widespread reports from power users about the model exhibiting laziness or inconsistency, particularly on deep reasoning tasks. And this is happening even when the model is set to the higher reasoning levels, like extra high or pro.
Which brings up a really interesting debate in the AI community right now. Is this laziness a fundamental technical limitation of the architecture, or is it a misalignment in how users are prompting the model? Because when you introduce these advanced agentic features, the way you instruct the model has to fundamentally change. You can't just give it a vague zero-shot prompt and expect it to flawlessly execute a 50-step parallel workflow without missing a beat.
I lean toward it being a bit of both, honestly. On one hand, OpenAI is pushing the absolute boundaries of what these models can do autonomously. On the other hand, managing a 1,000,000 token context window without losing the thread, what we often refer to as context rot, is incredibly difficult. Even with the best attention mechanisms in the world, if you fill that window with conflicting, ambiguous, or poorly structured instructions, the model is going to stumble. It's going to take shortcuts.
That's a great point. And going back to that 80% price cut for Luna,
I think that is ultimately the most significant part of this entire story. To build robust, reliable agentic systems, you need models that can think, plan, verify, and execute over and over again without bankrupting the developer. By driving the cost of Luna down to the absolute floor, OpenAI is basically subsidizing the creation of these multi-agent systems.
Exactly. They desperately want developers building on their stack. If it costs a small fortune to run an agent loop for an hour, nobody is going to deploy it in a production environment. The price-performance frontier is the real battleground right now, perhaps even more than raw benchmark intelligence. If Luna is smart enough for 90% of routine tasks and costs practically nothing to run, it changes the economics of the AI industry entirely.
And it puts immense, immediate pressure on competitors to match those economics. The AI race has clearly shifted from who has the highest standardized test scores to who can deliver the most reliable agentic performance at scale for the lowest possible cost. GPT 5.6 feels like a very aggressive, very calculated opening move in that specific battle.
Speaking of tech giants making aggressive moves, let's pivot to what Google is doing in the physical realm. Google DeepMind just announced Gemini Robotics 2 on July 30th, and the headline here is what they are calling whole body intelligence.
This is a huge, fundamental shift in how we approach robotics. Historically, most robotics AI has been highly specialized and heavily fragmented. You'd train a specific model to control a robotic arm, to pick up a specific object on an assembly line, and that was it. It was narrow, repetitive, and required extensive, custom, hard-coded programming for every new task. Gemini Robotics 2 is aiming for general-purpose physical AI. We're talking about a single unified model controlling the entire robot, walking, crouching, balancing, and manipulating objects all simultaneously.
It's incredibly ambitious. The suite actually consists of three distinct models tailored for different layers of the problem. First, you have Gemini Robotics 2, which is a vision language action model handling the direct motor control. Then there's Gemini Robotics ER 2. The ER stands for embodied reasoning, which acts as the high-level brain for planning multi-step tasks and orchestrating multiple robots. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, they've introduced a lightweight on-device version of the model.
That on-device version is absolutely critical for real-world adoption. When you're dealing with robots operating in the real world, say in a busy warehouse, a crowded hospital, or a remote disaster zone, you simply cannot rely on a constant high-bandwidth internet connection to a cloud server. The latency alone would make real-time balance and reaction impossible. Running these models locally, directly on the robot's hardware, changes the deployment potential entirely.
Absolutely. And security is another massive factor there. A lot of enterprise environments, like manufacturing plants or research labs, do not want live video feeds from their facilities streaming back to a cloud provider just so a robot can navigate the floor. Having the inference happen on the edge solves that privacy and security bottleneck completely.
Let's talk about the actual performance metrics, because DeepMind shared some internal test results that are pretty revealing. Using a humanoid robot powered by this new AI, they achieved a 76.3% success rate in retrieving objects from a shelf, and a 68.4% success rate picking items up from a table.
Honestly, those numbers perfectly highlight both the incredible progress we've made and the massive remaining challenges. A 76% success rate is amazing for a generalized, zero-shot system operating in an unpredictable environment. But think about it in a commercial setting. If your robot drops the item or fails to pick it up one out of every four times, that's simply not viable for a business. DeepMind themselves acknowledge that hand dexterity is still a major bottleneck. We are not at human-level manipulation yet, not even close.
The physical mechanics of a human hand are absurdly complex to replicate, both in the hardware design and in the software required to control the micro-adjustments in grip strength, friction, and angle. It's one of the hardest problems in engineering. But what fascinates me even more is the multi-robot collaboration aspect enabled by the ER2 model. The idea that different robots can dynamically divide labor to complete a complex task is straight out of science fiction.
It is, but it also introduces a whole new layer of safety and coordination challenges. When you have multiple autonomous agents operating in a shared space, especially a workspace that includes human workers, the unpredictability scales exponentially. If robot A drops a box, robot B needs to dynamically adjust its path and its plan in real time, and the human walking nearby needs to remain perfectly safe.
Right. The embodied reasoning model has to maintain a constant, real-time spatial awareness of not just its own physical body, but the bodies, trajectories, and intentions of every other agent and human in the room. It's a staggering computational problem to solve at scale.
It really is. But if Google can refine this, the transition from laboratory prototypes to actual, deployable humanoid workers is going to happen much faster than people expect. We are moving past the demo phase. Gemini Robotics 2 is laying the core software foundation for that autonomous future.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up. We've got some battery tech news, a couple of developer headaches with Claude Code, and a bit of gaming nostalgia.
First up, let's talk about the ongoing race for solid-state batteries. This is widely considered the holy grail of energy storage. Startups in the US and Europe have raised over $4 billion for research, and major players like CATL, BYD, LG, and Samsung are heavily invested. The promise is massive, 50 to 80% more energy density than current lithium-ion batteries, and virtually zero fire risk because they replace the flammable liquid electrolyte with a solid material.
But we need a reality check here. Don't expect a 1,000-kilometer range EV in your driveway tomorrow. The industry is still battling a major technical hurdle called dendrite formation, which are tiny lithium spikes that pierce the solid electrolyte and cause catastrophic short circuits. Researchers at the Max Planck Institute just published new findings on how these dendrites trigger fractures. Even though China implemented a formal solid-state battery standard for 2026, signaling an industrial shift, experts say true all-solid-state systems won't see widespread mass-market adoption until the early 2030s. We'll likely see hybrid or semi-solid designs filling the gap in the late 2020s.
Moving over to developer tools, there's a highly requested feature gaining traction on the Claude Code GitHub repository for automatic context clearing. Right now, Claude Code manages its massive 200,000 token window by automatically summarizing or compacting older conversation history. But over long, intensive coding sessions, this lossy compression leads to what developers call context rot, where the agent gets sluggish, hallucinates, or completely forgets core instructions.
Currently, the only way to do a full wipe of the memory is by manually typing the /clear command. Users are actively requesting a way to automatically trigger a full clear based on turn count, idle time, or explicit task boundaries. It really highlights the tension in AI tool design between wanting a long-running, stateful assistant that remembers everything and needing the crisp, high-signal performance of a fresh, clean context window to get actual work done.
Sticking with Claude Code for a moment, another issue is seriously frustrating power users: the lack of visibility into model-scoped rate limits. Anthropic uses a unified pool for rate limits across all its surfaces, meaning your Claude.ai web chats and your command line CLI usage pull from the exact same quota. But the default status line JSON payload in Claude Code doesn't expose your remaining 5-hour or 7-day limits.
This means developers are hitting unexpected blocks mid-session with no warning. The community has actually had to resort to building custom status line scripts just to parse the hidden header metadata to see their real-time usage. It's a bizarre oversight for a tool aimed at professional developers, often forcing users into pay-as-you-go overage credits just to keep their workflows uninterrupted.
Finally, some fun news for retro gaming fans. Ron Gilbert has officially announced that production has started on Thimbleweed Park 2, with a planned release in early 2028. The original was a fantastic 2017 point-and-click adventure game created by LucasArts veterans, serving as a spiritual successor to classics like Maniac Mansion.
What's really interesting is the business side of this. They're self-publishing via Terrible Toy Box with the assistance of a private investor, completely bypassing the Kickstarter route they used to fund the first game. Gilbert says the game is not really a sequel, not really a prequel, but fan-favorite characters Agent Ray and Agent Reyes will definitely be returning. It'll be launching on Windows, Mac, and Linux via Steam and GOG.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of the Narrowcast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the latest in tech, AI, and beyond. Stay curious, and we'll see you then.